We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Texans Training Camp, live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
And Geraldo Perdomo is at shortstop batting ninth. First pitch swinging at Ketel Marte on one pitch makes it 1-0. Walter, when he has given up runs, has allowed the home run. In five of his seven starts, he's allowed runs. They've only been on home runs. Scoring runs, and he does so again today with a leadoff home run to Marte.
And that's where we are right now. Top two. The Diamondbacks lead 1-0. Tyler or Cheryl, this may be too much. I think I'm correct on this. I think this is the 13th consecutive game that the Astros have the Astros opponent has scored first in the game.
Last time they did so was against the Dodgers in LA before the break.
Yeah. 13th straight game that their opponent has scored first.
That is correct.
So maybe they got him right where they want him, I guess.
Tyler, you didn't bet on the Astros scoring first today, did you?
I didn't.
Okay, good.
Prayers up. Chaz is at the plate, so prayers up.
Boy, does he need, as he scrunches back and watches a breaker just catch the inside corner. I mean, does anybody need a big game more than him? I mean,
he had two hits the other day. I mean, one was a swinging bunt, but he had
every lower third of the lineup, every lower third of the roster, I should say. Has had monster days over the last 2 months.
Got it. Who's bad? Short. Okay, I was going to say, who the hell's bad?
There you go. Boy, I thought that was a hit.
It was not the end of the bet.
Right at the old shortstop. Boy ain't living right. I'm telling you, boy ain't living right.
Again, that's him. That's Cooper Hummel getting chummy. That's him, though. That was a 90-mile-an-hour breaking ball of some sort that didn't break that much, that wasn't a buckler, that you could see was a breaking ball early, and he buckled. And then he's reaching and trying to pull a pitch that's 3 inches off the plate. And pulls it right there. Now, maybe if he'd have gone with it, first off, maybe just shouldn't have swung. If you're not swinging at that first one, what the hell are you swinging at that one? and then if you are going to swing, why don't you go with the pitch? But no, he pulled that sucker all the way to short. So I am with you, Chaz. I'm hopeful for you, but by the way, they did get Bryce Matthews out. So that's a positive thing for the Diamondbacks. They haven't been able to do that today. All right, we'll keep you updated. Sorry. We'll keep you abreast on what's going on there. Astros trail 1-0 going to the bottom of the second. But we were at camp today, and shout out to all of the fellas here at Sports Radio 610. I saw and heard Sean and Brandon Scott were out there early, and I had a good time taking the kids to camp and daycare. By the way, if anybody else is coming around in Siena and setting that damn traffic like I did today, whew, I know you was in there listening to every bit of Mark Vandermeer, John Harris today. I mean, I got Mark Vandermeer, I got John Harris, I got the general, I got the sideline reporter. I got an hour and a half worth of those cats today, but shout out to them out there doing a great job. And then Reggie and the OG were out there as well. But we were able to watch practice today. CJ Stroud, obviously, as I always say, the most important athlete, I believe, to the fan base in the city of Houston, CJ Stroud. This was him today as he spoke to the media talking about the new system, the new pieces, and the new offensive line.
I don't think it's, I'm kind of a people person, so like I think I can, I'm a plug and play guy, like I can relate to anybody at any time, so I think that helps with me on the field. So, you know, the new guys who are here, I think I've meshed with them pretty well, and you know, we've hung out off the field and seen each other out and things like that. So I think I'll be fine in that area and just try to just keep building those relationships.
All right, there you go. There is CJ Stroud talking about a lot of newness, a lot of new new teammates, new system, talking about that. What did you see from CJ day one? What was your thoughts of what you saw from the quarterback?
Well, like I said, man, I thought what we saw was a very, you know, very controlled, very conservative approach to offensive football today. You know, there were no mistakes. Didn't seem like there wasn't, but a couple of balls on the ground, to be completely honest with you. And so it was efficient. As D'Amico said, you got to take his word for it. The communication of all the signal callers today was tremendous. He said that in his time with the media. And, you know, so it was a good day all in all. But we didn't see C.J. Stroud really push the ball down the field. What I saw that I really liked from C.J. Stroud in day one is there is clearly an emphasis on getting the football out.
I was about to say, you know, that's not something you didn't mind.
No, I love it. I mean, I think it should be the focus every day, every week at practice until C.J. Stroud finds the ability or matures to the level of where he can do that himself. And that's not a knock on C.J. Stroud. That's young quarterbacks. That's young, super gifted quarterbacks. They have to learn that. I mean, the hard thing for C.J. Stroud is going to be to go out there and commit to the boring stuff, whether you're talking about mechanics and technique work, or you're talking about how important the communication is, or you're talking about getting the football out of your hand and making everybody's job around you easy and getting the ball to the athletes and picking and choosing when and where you need to take your risk with the football. And more importantly with CJ, when and where to take the risk with your protection and your ability to stay healthy. Like, that's what CJ has to do. And I thought today was a very good day. I think it was very indicative of what the organization, I think D'Amico Ryans all the way down to C.J. Stroud and all the decision makers on the offensive side of the football, I think it was very clear what the focus is. We're going to run it. We're going to get the ball to the quarterback's hands. We're going to be really good at play action, and we're going to be really selective when we throw the football down the field. We're not going to go out to practice and air it out every damn day. Yeah, I mean, I like what I saw from C.J. Stroud today. It looked like he was committed to that approach.
Yeah, and I know the concern from some is maybe we weren't talking about C.J. in particular, but the overall offense is – the concern of potentially still taking the aggressive big play away from CJ by just drilling this in his head all the time and potentially missing out on big plays. And I think something you said within this too is there is going to be a process in which he just gets used to being able to do both, being able to take what is given to them and still be able to pull the trigger and hit the big plays.
Yeah.
And to where it's not a trade-off, to where it's last year he was trying to get that puppy down the field, and now this year, none of that. It's just going to be all dump-offs, and there's not going to be any real fear. There's going to be a way to measure both of them.
Well, there's just a real take what they give you, and there's a real, to me, I've said it before, I think the hardest thing in the game of football is calling offensive plays. You can design the best. Hell, you can look at film from all over America the last 10 years, and you can put together a playbook that is beautiful, that has all the bells and whistles, that has great screen packages and quick packages and shot plays and all the different run games, and that's fine. But in the moment, you know, calling plays is extremely difficult. From the quarterback's perspective, you know, executing those plays is the most difficult thing in sports, and it's why it's the most difficult position to play, right? And so you look at those two things. What is the outward, you know, identity or approach that you are trying to take with the offensive unit this year? And I think that messaging is very clear with this group, Ron. And I think there's got to be a method to the madness. I do believe that last year, I've said this before, I'll say it again. I believe that last year, I think when you built the playbook for 2024, when you spoke into your quarterback on a consistent basis in 2024, when you literally called plays in 2024, you were hell-bent in doing things a certain way, which I believe was a little bit more aggressive and a little bit more down the field, a little bit more hold the football with your quarterback, right? This year, all of those things, the way it's built, the way you're speaking to your quarterback, needs to be get us in the right run play, communicate the hell out of things, never pass up for sure for some more. Just take to stay efficient, stay, keep everything in front of you, stay in front of the chains, ahead of the chains, and let's ride. And that look today was very indicative of that.
Yep. All right. One thing that was very also was also very clear was D'Amico Ryans as he spoke. And I'm going to let you listen to this. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, I am not going to try to influence you at all. But when you hear him answer this question and how he answers it, what comes to your mind? What are you immediately thinking when he answers this question? He was just asked the question, what is it that excites you day one of training camp of a Nick Caserio offense?
What excites me most about Kaylee's offense is that it's evolving and it's being tailored toward the Houston Texans and the guys that we have on our roster. So what excites me the most is not just a copy and paste from other places that he's been, and he's been very successful at other places, but he's been very, very thorough with the installation process of where do we want to put our guys, what position, what's the best spot for our guys to be in. So you look at it through that lens, it's going to be about the Houston Texans. And that's what I love most about the offense is him being able to be adaptable and put our guys where they need to be.
I know what I heard.
713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Jump in.
That's some shade.
When you heard that, what did you hear? All right, Tyler, you're jumping out. You said you heard some shade. He said,
possibly.
What he loves is that this is an offense tailored to the Houston Texans and the players that they have.
Yeah.
And
ain't no damn copy and paste offense up in H-Town right
I've
now.
I've never heard that choice words. That was interesting. No copy and paste. And it's not just something that he is using from his other stops that he's been at. There's a few things that there. Tyler, you saying shit. What was it that brought to your mind when you heard him speak of that? What did you think?
Oh, the copy and paste. It's not that offense. This ain't no cookie cutter deal. It's adaptable. It's geared towards the talent we got here in Houston with these Texans players. I can't help but immediately think that was a little shade tree over at Bobby Slowick.
Text line coming through. I heard F that Slowick.
Dang it, Bobby.
And we're looking into this. Like, there's no way to know for sure.
Text line also comes through. How can Ryan say he's been successful? He's not called any plays.
But it sounds like a little shade.
I'm not gonna lie. And maybe it's the way my mind works. I was maybe in a similar space as Tyler. I kind of heard this is what the hell. I haven't been getting.
Dang it, Bobby!
And maybe I'm on alert too, Clint, because I feel like I've been hearing this through CJ. I feel like Nico has said something in a similar vein. I feel like D'Amico has said something in a similar vein. I feel like Titus has said something in a similar vein. What did you hear? Did you hear Bobby Slowick? What did you hear when you heard that?
Well, look, I think we can everything we hear right now about the problem areas or the improvement or the difference between the last year, we you can look at it as that's a shot at Bobby. So I don't think anybody's wrong for hearing shade being thrown at Bobby. I think when you talk about the offensive line play, when you talk about the quarterback having more control, when you talk about the cut and paste, offense or whatever the hell it was, he copy and paste, whatever he said. You know, I think all of those can be viewed as shots at Bobby Slowick. I personally would like to think that D'Amico Ryans is aware enough to know that he's the one that hired Bobby Slowick and brought him in here and talked him up for 2 years. Hopefully now he's not. Hopefully now is not the time where you flipped a script right there.
Ain't talking him up no more.
To me, the way my mind works, Ron, I went immediately to he probably hears all of the media, and really anybody with any sense that's talking about football is talking about the Texans is talking about Nick Caley and his history in New England and the Texans, New England of the South, Patriot South. And then all of a sudden it's McVay, and boy, is it going to be the McVay, San Francisco, LA Rams offense? What's it going to look like? And I heard it as him saying, nah, this ain't going to be none of that. This is Nick Caley putting it all together, and it's going to be the Caley offense.
I think that's another way to look at it.
Yeah, I would like to think that D'Amico's not as petty to the point of doing that.
That is
taking shots at Slowick and indirectly like that.
My thinking is, I've heard D'Amico, and I know D'Amico can be vague in answers and put out fires with an answer. This to me was one where he went in depth in a way where it was in a way where it feels like it maybe didn't have to go into depth. And knowing, as I think D'Amico is a very, very smart guy and is very, very calculated with what he says to the media, knowing that kind of answer would kind of bring up in people's minds. Now, the other part of that is, I'll be damned, boy, this Nick Caley must be the damn truth, Clint. He's talking up stuff like Andy Reid, Sean McVay right there, Kyle Shanahan, baby. Like, this is a guy, man, it don't matter what you roll out there. Give him Mike Vick. He's got an offense for Mike Vick. Yeah. Give him Donovan McNabb. He's got an offense for Donovan McNabb. Give him Kevin Cobb. He's got an offense for – he'll do whatever. Like, he can roll with whatever. And to the what the texter said, dang, I ain't know all that.
Yeah,
he must be impressing the hell out of him during these camps and meetings.
I think that's my biggest Nick Caley, lead in here is we've heard Nico Collins with high praise. We've heard C.J. Stroud with high praise. We've heard D'Amico Ryans multiple times with high praise. We've heard Jake Andrews, one of the centers, with high praise. And not just high praise, hey, man, we really like this guy. He's a sharp guy. It goes from the energy and the vibe that he brings to practice immediately to, boy, this offense is going to be this, this, and that. And my deal is like, how the hell do you know? He's never called offenses. He's never coordinated anything. He's been a position coach. I'm with the texture on that one. Let's pump the brakes a little bit and let Nick Caley kind of get into his own and figure out who the hell he really is before we anoint him as this great play caller that somehow is going to have a playbook built around Nico Collins, Joe Mixon, Dalton Schultz, C.J. Stroud, and an offensive line that's been revamped. I mean, let's – oh, and by the way, there's two rookies that you're going to have to get into the fold, too, that are expected to play big-time minutes.
I've seen some real successful guys out here who are copying – what do you say, copy and paste?
Yeah, it's all it's all copy paste. Don't let them fool you. It's all copy paste.
All right, it's Wednesday. That means it's a little stock up, stock down. We'll do a little stock up, stock down day one of training camp. Stock up, stock down with the Texans. It's back as we continue right here live on the drive.
Tootski, come on.
Every football season brings highs.
Yes! Rock and roll!
And lows.
Every week, though, there's no excuse for that.
Oh, no.
It's time to buy or sell.
And tell him to sell!
It's Texans Stock Up, Stock Down on the Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I'm going to pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
That's right. Every hump day on Houston's number one afternoon drive sports talk program. That'd be this one, The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. We do a little stock action, little look at stock up, stock down. Today's edition is, of course, day one of Texans training camp, as that is now in the books. And both of these fellows, Clint Sterner, Ron the Show Hughley, they were out there sweating along with the players on day one of camp in H-Town today. Want to get started with you, Ron the Show? And I know you like to start with some positives sometimes, so let's go stock up, Ron, for day one of Texans camp in your eyes.
Stock up to me is, in a couple of ways, to be honest with you. You talked about it earlier, Clint, on the offensive line. There was a lot of fun had, a lot of mix and match. But from my memory, the two times when we saw drills done, and especially team drills done when they had number ones and number twos, You said Tytus Howard was the one at right guard that was mostly in the same spot. Well, the only other person that was also with the ones each time was Arriante Ursary. Arriante Ursary started out first at that right tackle spot, which we've seen Blake Fisher been holding down during OTAs and mandatory minicamp. And then the final team period, he swung over there to the left side and was the left tackle. So he ran with the ones at right tackle the first time and then at left tackle the second time. And little buddy went ahead, shout out to you, Kansas City Zone. Little buddy went ahead and got him a little nice little contract yesterday. Got 9.2. There you go right there. Got that locked and loaded, so he's getting that NFL money. And he is also apparently appearing at least today. Now, tomorrow could be completely different, but today looks like he is in line for maybe getting one of those top spots, either on the right or the left side. So I think it was a stock up day for Arriante Ursary.
Yeah, it definitely was, Ron. You are correct. He has opened some eyes in a big way. This isn't, well, you got drafted number two or in the second round. We had offensive line problems. We got to plug and play this guy. He's clearly impressed some folks. He clearly is grasping the offense and is able to go out there and compete with the two guys that I thought would be starting, and Blake Fisher at right tackle and Cam Robinson at left tackle. Now, yeah. I don't know if this is just an effort to create a swing tackle or if there's a legit shot that he could start at one of these tackles. I got to believe that if he's impressed that quickly, that he's damn sure on the heels, nipping at the heels, if not even with Blake Fisher. So, yeah, I got to say after one day, Ron, that Arriante Ursary is probably the top takeaway in terms of that stock being up a bit.
There you have it. That is Ron the Show Hughley's stock up after day one at Texans camp. The rookie, but big as hell, Ursary.
I was about to say, someone texted in, how does Ursary look? I was going to say big as hell.
That's what everybody keeps saying, is that rookie looks very big. But that is how Ron stock up. Over to the former NFL quarterback. Clint, you've gone through a few of these training camps in your life before. Stock up for you, Dirty Red, after day one of camp for the Texans.
I'm going to go with Nick Caley here. I mean, I've been very critical of Nick Caley, and I'll be honest, I still don't know what in the hell is this offense is going to look like, but I tip my cap to Nick Caley. I think when you got a guy like Nico Collins, when you get your first shot at calling offensive plays, when you got a guy like C.J. Stroud, I think it's easy to talk, but it's difficult to go out there and stay disciplined and literally, you know, follow up or follow through with all the promises you made. And I thought today was a tremendous day offensively. In terms of us fans and the media trying to decide what this unit's going to look like, I thought Nick Caley going out there, keeping it slow paced, really focusing on communication and really, really good sound reps. If you hear D'Amico Ryans talk again about the communicators, the coordinators, the quarterback, it was a great day. There was no balls on the ground. Literally, there was no damn sure no snaps on the ground. There were no. I didn't see any false starts. I didn't see any, hey, re-huddle. I saw some of that on special teams, but I didn't see any of that on offense. So it was a very, very efficient, clean day. And so I tip my cap to Nick Caley, man, for just be, you know, that is where the focus needs to be, is do the simple things savagely well, and then we'll grow from there. And I think Nick did that today.
Yeah, it looks like they got a game plan. That's for sure. They got a game plan in there. And they're following it.
New OC, Nick Caley. That's Clint Sterner's stock up. This is a day one of Texans training camp. It's in the books. That's today's edition of Stock Up, Stock Down, right here live on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Now we got to talk about the bat. Back to you, Ron, the show. After one day, after being out there in that hot-ass sun, what is your stock down for Texans after this first day of training camp?
Yeah, I'm going rogue. I'm not doing stock downs. I'm just going to do... No, I'm kidding.
market
only stock
there.
Ups, damn it. Damn it, today. No. Stock down for me is John Metchie. This math ain't mathing for me right now for John. And, I mean, the amount of...
Time's got to be running out, right?
I'm just saying. I know maybe you shouldn't take a lot into the ones or the twos or going out, but the amount of people that I was watching trot on that field before he got on that field, it was And to see that it wasn't 7 or 10 throwing a lot of balls to him or being under center with him. And I'm looking at it, Clint. Obviously, Nico Collins and Christian Kirk are obviously ahead of him. Obviously, Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel are ahead of him. Justin Watson, to me, they signed in free agency, is ahead of him. And I'm going to tell you right now, that Jarrett Wayne fella continues to go in. I mean, he goes in before Noel and Watson sometimes.
He was first in the line when the receivers are doing routes on air.
And not just that, like he went in multiple times in team drills with CJ in there. But before him, and then obviously, I mean, based off the special teams today that I watched today, nobody else seemed to be able to catch a punt outside of Braxton Berrios. Feels like he's probably got a spot. Xavier Hutchinson does more than he does, and quite frankly, he's been more productive. It's just not mathing right now for John Mitchell.
Time's got to be running.
You said a lot there, and I think we can ask one question. And this is including OTAs, by the way. Right now, John Metchie's going to have a hard time making this team over Jarrett Wayne.
That's what I'm wondering.
And I'm impressed with Wayne. I heard Johnny Harrison. There's clearly a move here with this group. Maybe it's D'Amico. Maybe it's Nick. I don't know. But they clearly look at it and say, we need more size in our wide receiver room.
With the draft pick they
did, as well as this Wayne. Wayne is getting a lot of push, and he's taking advantage of it. Mm-hmm. But, like, you're if you aren't – I mean – It's gonna be tough. He better really lean into that CJ Stroud best friend mode.
John Metchie, Stock Down for Ron the show. Clint Sterner put a cap on this thing for us after day one at Texans camp. Stock Down for you.
It's easy for me, man. The running back situation out there today was interesting. Yeah. No Joe Mixon, no problem. Joe Mixon can survive that. Joe Mixon has earned that. No Damian Pierce. What the hell's going on?
Where art thou?
DP. Whether I don't even care if it's injury and he just can't go. Whatever it is. Damian Pierce can't start training camp in a year where he may not finish training camp. You can't start training camp in the training room or wherever the hell you're at. Like, Damian Pierce, the stock down is as low as it's ever been right now.
He got to be on the field the way that John Metchie is. Both would need to be on the field.
He got to be back there catching punts.
Yeah. Kickoff, something.
Everything.
Yeah. And J.J. Taylor, he was out as well. So, I mean, they had some real low numbers there in the running back position. But
who wasn't out?
Nicky?
No. Nick Chubb wasn't, but you know who was running them twos, though? 33, baby. You kidding me? Old Mr. Dependable.
There he is.
Need a kicker?
Right,
got
baby.
It. Need a running back? Got it.
I saw British over there, too. He got him a couple of reps.
They like Brooks, don't they?
They do. They like British Brooks over there. I saw him a little bit. All right, coming up, we'll get you an Astros update as they are looking – to sweep the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll let you know where they are as we continue right here live on The Drive.
What's up, Clint? How y'all doing, man?
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Update here in Arizona, the Astros, they trail 1-0 here in the fifth, but they have the top of the lineup up with a runner on, so they'll see if they can get back in it as a little shaky start. Redhead Brandon Walter.
Ginger Nation.
He let out the first batter of the game, took him deep. Now, Patel is an all-star, so he's a really good player. Started in the all-star game at second base for the National League, so that is not a surprising thing to happen. But he went deep, but he has settled in, Clint. It is now just 1-0, has not allowed any other runs, and the Astros still right now have a chance to kind of come back in this game as they trail 1-0, so... not much going on in terms of opportunities and chances for the Astros to get some runs across, but hopefully they'll get something going here in the second half of this game. But a little training camp action today. This week it has started today. I am curious, Clint. How quickly for you or players? How quickly? Now some are different. I think guys like Will Anderson are a little different. But how quickly does it turn from excitement about the new year, excitement to get out here, to, oh God, we just got to get through it? And maybe it starts day one. But I feel like for guys in the league, there's a level of excitement when you first maybe get in there, and then at some point it does turn into, all right, let's get to the season.
Yeah, you know, I think that is a very tough question for me to answer for a couple of reasons. I think the biggest being, Ron, when it happened a lot quicker when I was playing. When you had two-a-days, and I did my first year in the league, we had two-a-days in Wichita Falls. Like two-a-days. Like two-hour plus practices with a nap in between type of deal. What I'm watching, these cats, I mean, they were on the field for an hour and 28 minutes today, including stretch.
It probably pisses you off.
Well, the old man in me is like, the part that pisses you off is like there is just zero reason to be tired. Like there's zero reason to be winded. There is zero reason to tap out.
It's hot out there, bro.
Oh, it's real hot out there. No doubt it is. So I mean, hot. Yeah, trust me. I've been full pads and two-a-days in 100 plus degree weather. It's hot. It, just like it was back in the day.
They're in shell today.
Yeah, in shells. Yeah, I mean, so it like that, that's I can't answer that question because I can't. You give me an hour and 20 practice, hour and 20 minute practice, it can be 100 degrees every day. I'm fine.
That's what I knew, Tyler. My football career was not long. I think I could see some of the other people, and this is just in high school. I could see other people who many of them went on to go play college in some form or fashion. They loved them some practice in a way that I didn't. I mean, I sat up in that bed waiting for. Oh God! I was day one. Get through it, man. Let's get. Let's get to week one. But there was some of them jokers walking around there, boy. They love practice.
Well, I think that there's also like a difference. Obviously, my position was a lot different than the one you played. I would have been miserable playing your position as well. There's no question. The other part is there's certain, like I think one guy for me that I crossed paths with was like Romo. Like I don't think Romo ever got tired of football.
Loved it.
Ate up with it. Like you can't like, hey, can we have a conversation about them fine ass women that just walk by the deal over here? No, I mean I'm worried about football,
Jim.
Yeah, I'm worried about this high low route. I just that Quincy just misread. I'm finna go in there and do it right. No, man. Like that when some dudes that are ate up with it,
those guys. Hey, it's the guys that are having fun and laughing during conditioning.
Well, they don't have any conditioning.
They don't have conditioning here. Racing. got there.
Yeah,
what the hell?
I was going in.
I bet you was.
I was in pretty good shape.
So I was trying to get through it, baby.
Yeah, that was not. Yeah, that's the other part. Iron 28 minutes, including stretch, and zero conditioning. Yeah. And a room over on the side that has that's a cool down room.
Smart,
that you
man.
Can go in
gotta
at any
get
point
going,
down.
Man. Gotta keep them cool. Gotta keep them cool. Nah, I do. I wondered how quickly it is. Because listening to Will was on In the Loop. You might want to catch that earlier today right off the practice field. And Will, you can tell, man, he's like what you're talking about.
No question.
He can't wait. He can't wait to get out there tomorrow. I don't even think he's going anywhere to go home to do nothing. He cannot wait to get there.
Well, you know, there's no question he's that kind of guy. Like, we were sitting there at OTAs and everybody else is out there is resting, catching a breath, and he's out there on the side with an assistant coach working his hand.
He's a noise mix.
Just can't get enough of
it. He's a noise. That's what. All right.
Can't get enough of it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's good to add him, dude. Yeah. That's what I knew.
Well, the more of those you got, the better off you're going to be. I just was not one of them.
No, I wasn't going to make it.
I had the least physically demanding position and still hated it about 2 days in.
I'd have quit at Wichita Falls. The way you describe the heat, I might have quit.
I don't know how the big guys did it.
Then again, I don't know, that kind of money, maybe I wouldn't have. But
in my mind, it was as if somebody turned a microwave on and you were inside that piece.
nowhere to
go. All you got to do is step in the shade. You're cool. Cool as it's easy.
Oh, yeah.
In that sun, it felt like somebody turned that old microwave on about a minute and a half and just let you cook.
And Tyler, it must have been hot if he's talking about it.
Awful.
Yeah, you know, he ain't eats nothing to him.
Don't talk about it, man. Them boys out there today talking about it. Don't talk about it.
I meant to tell you, fellas, I think I'm about to make a decision that I have been against for a while.
I think
I'm gonna go ahead and completely cut the cord of cable, man.
Really?
I think I'm gonna throw in the
you
towel.
You watch a lot of TV. How's that gonna?
Well, I mean, I'm not taking away TV, but I've been like, I'm not gonna lie to you. I have just had the comfort of one. I know that I can get all of my sports easy and everything I watch. And then I do. I enjoy like talking into my remote and pressing the number, turning the channel, my back button. Like, I enjoy all of that. Courtney slid in and said, we got that. Let's try that a 10-day trial for YouTube TV. Let's just see how we feel about it. See how much money we can maybe save potentially with what we're putting together. Nice little dip. I think I'm gonna go ahead and roll. I think I'm gonna slice this thing up.
You think you're sold, huh?
I think I'm out on the cable. I never thought that I would do. I felt like you know, sometimes I can be cheap, but there are certain things that
No. All the time you can
it's
be
not
cheap,
all the time.
But go ahead and
there
finish.
There are times, but there are certain things that I'll pay for. My cable package, I'll pay for it. But then what really sold me was I got that little deal on that Sunday ticket. I got that deal on that Sunday ticket. I'm gonna go ahead and slip into
YouTube
that.
Does.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and slip into that Sunday ticket, get all the games.
So what are you gonna end up paying on YouTube?
It's probably 75 to 100 cheaper than what we're doing.
Overall, yep.
Overall.
Like, what about your other prescription? Even combining
it all, and some come with it. Some of the things that we're paying for come with it.
Well, you're gonna have to keep one of them streaming networks that have all those dramas you like to watch. I mean,
I got them all. Now, I will say I am having a hard time getting the Rockets and the Astros channel. That is going to be something I'm going to have to try to figure out.
There. Rockets are tough because it's like I go Hulu, and Rockets are tough because the only thing not on Hulu is TNT.
Are you completely?
No, you have cable? No, I just pay for it all.
Do you?
Oh yeah, all the streaming, all the cable. Yeah, we got it all.
See, I'm kind of in that lane.
Just blowing through.
I'm kind of in that lane right now, and then we kind of took a look at it.
Yeah. I would be interested if somebody could come over and show me how much crossover I'm working with.
Oh, you ain't lying. Hey, you ain't lying. It ran through, man. We had two Apple accounts rolling, just paying every month.
I think I may still have my Netflix account somewhere since I've been married.
Yeah, someone texted Ron doesn't pay up for draws, but he does for cable. I'm telling you, things are important. I feel like I pay for draws. I think Hanes are a very quality brand.
Well, I mean,
very quality brand. Do you cut cord? Have you cut cords? Tyler?
Oh, no. I got every damn streaming platform there is.
I do, too, but you have cable?
Oh, yeah. I got the old Xfinity as well.
Yeah, me too. I'm about to have to step out, man.
Got to watch some Astros games.
Yeah, that's it. I got to step out. But, I mean, it is, I like it now. I feel like they've made some adjustments. I can make it easier to get to it. That first day, boy, we had it, man. It was kind of going a little slow on me. It took me 17 seconds to turn from the British Open to one of my favorite shows on HGTV, Tyler. Took me about 17 seconds. That's it. Well, this ain't gonna work. I said, this ain't gonna work. But then I sped it up. It's working well though. I might have to. Yeah, I think we're gonna go ahead and shut it down. It's a solid decision. Solid decision for me. I never thought I would. Thought I'd always have that cable. Like to have that thing and watch four things at once, baby. Split that screen up. There are four things at once.
You you scatterbrained as it is. You don't need four things.
I do.
TV,
I
man.
Do too, man. NCAA tournament. I need all of them.
Them TV. Them games, shows. Them shows all, you've baby. Been telling me about. You don't. You need one screen.
Hey,
for them.
The Hunting Wives, East Texas. That's. I started that last night, folks. That's aggressive. What you got coming up?
Training camp day one observations. I got four of them for you. I got four takeaways today. You're not going to want to miss it, baby. I'll break it down next right here on Sports Radio 610.